Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Hey, I'm excited to be back with you once again. I'm going to have to do a couple of shows just to catch up here. I've been having fun in sunny California, and you know, I got to tell you, it's been awesome. Been loving snowboarding, been loving getting away from probably one of the biggest winters Utah's ever had, and excited to be out in California during this time of year. It's been beautiful. It's been awesome. Hey, just remember, check out our website, www.moneyripples.com. It's getting a nice little facelift here pretty quick, so check it out. We're going to have we obviously have some blogs on there. We've got also other events coming up. In fact, I have an event coming up in March, so be looking for that as well. Today, I want to talk about something, why financial freedom is going to be impossible for you. And this was actually inspired by a post I saw on Facebook. Now, let me preface it by saying this, is that every once in a while I get people asking, is there hope, Chris? Is there hope for financial freedom? Is there hope that I can have the kind of life I always dreamed of? Hey, Chris, I'm even in my mid-50s. Is there hope? Even if I'm 60, is there hope? The answer is yes. There is always hope. And I even told that to somebody who is in their mid-50s. I said this recently. I said, there's always hope. But it's going to require you to shift the way you see money, the way you see retirement, the way you see everything. Even if you've heard me before, sometimes it can require a bigger shift in your mind and in your understanding than what you're currently doing. Because if you go by the traditional understanding, by the thing that every financial advisor, every financial expert, every person out there is telling you to do, they're telling you to pretty much do the same exact thing, aren't they? Aren't they telling you just to pay off your debt? You know, and once you get that all paid off, start stuffing away money into your 401k plans or whatever possible retirement plans that's in there for you. Insert that proper thing, but it's usually the same old stuff, right? It's pay off your debt, and then save for retirement, and save as much as you can for as long as you can. And then when you get to retirement, take out as little as you can. And they even tell you to take as much risk as you can. And that feels all great and dandy when the market's doing great, but then when the market goes down, it tanks, then you feel like crap. And then you feel like you have to spend the next 5 to 10 years catching back up. Or in the last, you know, 17 years now, it took people about 15 years to get back to where they were. And I'm even seeing people come out with numbers saying like, yeah, well, since, you know, the last 20 years, they're like, wow, I've made a whopping 3.5% rate of return in the market, or 4%, you know, things like that. And here's the thing is that, yeah, if you do what they're recommending and you do it how they recommend it, and you come from the same perspective that they do, which is in a perspective of scarcity and in a place of gambling and in a place of actually doing things that aren't in your best interest, then yes, and financial freedom will be impossible for you. Financial freedom is not a state of your account. It's not a state of how much is in your bank account. It's not a state of how much is in your wallet. It's a state of mind. It's even a state of being, a state of who you are. And I'll tell you, so many people will tell me, they're like, hey, if you do this, you'll become financially free. So for example, there's a post on Facebook that one of my friends did. And this guy, I follow like crazy. I adore the heck out of him. And I love his stuff. And it was interesting. He made a post that was inspired by a book he was reading called The Millionaire Next Door. Now, I used to completely buy into this book's philosophy. I mean, I had the goal to buy that infinity, just like they say, because they say, hey, wealthy people live just next door like everybody else. You know, millionaires, they were doing their study. They said millionaires live in middle-class neighborhoods, and they drive infinities, or they drive other cars. They don't drive the Maseratis and the Lexuses, the Mercedes, things like that. No, these people drive average cars. Sometimes they drive pickup trucks, and they live cheap. They only make like $70,000 a year and stuff like that. Now, granted, this book is way outdated because I read this when I was first a financial advisor living broke in an apartment that was only rent for $650 a month, right? And so I remember this book. And I will tell you that following the advice in this book will not work. Now, there are some good points. It does bring up that not all millionaires are consumers. The problem is, in this book, is that they bring up the philosophy that somehow, by being cheap, by not spending money, by not enjoying life necessarily, but by just being, you know, average in everything you do, basically by having a very consumer saver mentality where you just put away all the money you can, you nickel and dime everything, that sort of thing, then yes, you will become a millionaire. But I want to tell you, becoming a millionaire and becoming financially free are two very different things. Because I can tell you, I have people that are technically millionaires that I work with, that their assets actually do total over $1 million. They are millionaires, but they don't feel like it. And by the way, these people have lots of money to save every month. Their cash flow is great. So I've got people that got thousands of dollars a month they can put away, and they're still not financially free. And when I talk about financial freedom, I define it not as being debt-free, because that's definitely not financially free. I've seen a lot of people be debt-free and still feel broke. In fact, it's interesting, the people that are most passionate about becoming, being financially free and being debt-free are the ones that really aren't financially free. They're actually have debt. So they think that somehow debt-free will bring them financial freedom. But when they get there, they're like, cool, that was awesome. Okay, well, now what? Now I'm at zero. You know, like, that's the kind of thing that happens. I'll tell you that someone just by becoming, quote unquote, debt free, I've never seen anyone truly become financially free, where, according to my definition, is where money no longer becomes the reason or excuse that you do or do not do anything. Or in other words, when money no longer dictates what happens in your life. So when you're still using money, now I'm not saying value, like you're looking at value for something. You know, for example, I go grocery shopping, especially here in California, the bills are way more here with my food shopping than it is back in Utah. But when I'm looking at stuff, if I'm going to pay a higher price, I want to make sure I'm getting more value. And we wouldn't do. That's one thing. But when you're saying like, okay, well, I don't want to buy this because it's more expensive, not because it's better, but you just want to go with the cheaper option because it's cheaper. That's where you will never become financially free. If you're just paying off your debt because somehow you think debt-free will make you financially free, the problem is that most people think that debt-free means they don't have to pay expenses anymore. They don't owe anybody anything. But the reality is that in your life, you always owe people money. Always. You will always be paying taxes on your house. You'll always be paying maintenance for that house and upkeeping it. You'll be paying for insurance on that house if you're wise with yourself, right? If you're doing those kind of things and being a proper steward, you're always spending money. And what will happen is you'll say, cool, well, I freed up about 20 to 25% of my expenses overall, but I still got expenses. I still have the other 70, 75% to worry about. And when people realize like, oh, well, that's not necessarily doing it. Yeah, this is where there's this total delusion. It's not even an illusion. It's a delusion to believe that just by saving lots of money and by paying off all your debt, you will become financially free. Because I will tell you, I've been working with those people that have been doing that like good little boys and good little girls. They've been doing all of that to a T. And they still say, Chris, I'm missing something. I still feel like I have to work every day. I still feel like I have to do this. And part of that, by the way, is just a change in perspective. Some people that I've worked with actually have the ability to retire right now or really soon, like within the next few years, while others might take 5 to 10+ years. That's totally, it's just case by case. But it's interesting that the shift has to change. And so when he's saying like, hey, you know, he's saying, and he's telling his people, this is going back to my friend on Facebook, right? He's saying, hey, everybody, do you realize $150,000 mortgage over 30 years at a 3.92% interest, you'll pay over $105,000 in interest. He's like, that's $105,000 you wasted. And I kind of came back. I said, hey, you know, I love your stuff, but contrary to this point, you know, you're always paying interest. And I've mentioned this in other episodes, but I say you're always paying interest, whether you're paying it to a bank or you're paying cash for something that's now taken away your ability to earn interest on that money. For example, you pay cash for a car, you know, if you just pay outright cash for a car, yeah, you have no interest paid to a bank, but you now have lost that ability to earn any interest of that money too, because now you put into a car, which in most cases is a depreciating asset, right? So now you've put that money there instead. You know, whether you finance a car, you're paying interest, or whether you're you've used that money, you've lost the ability to earn interest. Now, this interest, that's called lost opportunity cost. Now, this will apply differently for every single one of you listening to this. Every one of you have a lost opportunity cost of some degree if you use your money, your cash, and try to be quote-unquote debt-free in this example, right? But now, some people, it's actually absolutely great. If you're a horrible spender and you don't do anything with the money anyways, you just consume it, then yes, I think you should be debt-free. Because you're not going to do anything wise with the money anyways, you might as well not put yourself in a harder position with the bank. Now, if you're someone who, more likely than not, if you're listening to this, you want to be a steward, not just a saver, because even savers could do better. But if you're trying to become a steward, where you actually create real wealth today, you create real cash flow, you're not just saving money to accumulate and then hope you can live off the interest someday, which will require millions and millions of dollars to even have a middle-class lifestyle. No, you're saying, I want to be a steward. I want to create real results. I want to create actual retirement now. And so you're saying, what else could I be doing with that money? And that's always the question you should be asking. You know, I'll tell you, like, there's been so many times I've looked at my debt situation, and there's times I'm tempted to want to pay off every single penny of loans and debt that I have. Now, some of it was like, yep, I got to pay this off, and it's the best rate of return I can do. And there's many cases of people I've worked with where we do pay off the loans. In fact, there's been a few clients recently where we said, you know what, for you, paying off your loans is the best rate of return. This will be even a better rate of return than even trying to pay down or try to go and invest, even like in real estate. And now the reason being is that we could still short-term be able to create something because we free up so much money with the debt that it creates much more cash flow than the real estate would. And that's what I'd have you consider is, yeah, maybe you try to pay off that car loan of $10,000, you know, and maybe that car loan is, say it's at $400 a month, right? But now what if you were to put that $10,000 somewhere else? Now, if you put that, say, into a real estate property, a $50,000 property, you're likely to make a couple hundred dollars a month. And that's if you have a renter, right? And so if you knew you can make more money by paying off that car than what you could investing it, then great. Now, you could take $10,000 and maybe invest it into your business. If you're a business owner, for example, maybe you invest into your business. That $10,000, say, even makes you $600 a month, right? And I'm just saying $600, right? That $600 would be better than paying off your car. And so you might be better not paying off your car and putting it into your business to make more money there. You know, I tell people all the time when they work with me, I say, hey, listen, if you work with me and if I accept you in the program, it's because I believe I can make that money back within a year. And so in that case, like if somebody were to try to do $10,000, you know, just using that same number, right? I would hope that we're going to find at least $800 a month or the equivalent of 10 grand lump sum somehow, some way, right? Whether it be recouped interest, tax savings, through debt, through income producing things, whatever it might be, averaging $800 a month or $10,000 that year. So yeah, that's going to be even better than a car loan in that scenario versus the $400 a month, right? So it always comes back to cash flow. What does it really create for you? Because those create options. You might say, well, yeah, but I still have debt. Yeah, you do. But if you have $800 a month instead of $400 a month, couldn't that $800 go and accelerate the way you pay off that car? Couldn't you pay it off faster? And now you have more. Versus, oh, I've just put that 10 grand into that car. Cool, I paid off that debt. But now I don't have 10 grand anymore. Now I've got to wait however long, you know, $400 a month. It takes a couple of years to save up that 10 grand, right? So you got to get back to there. Versus saying, hey, now I got 800 more a month plus the 400 I was already paying my car. So that's 1,200 a month. I can pay that off within a year. Does that make sense? It's all about really like what creates the most cash flow for you. And that's the thing that shifted for me is what creates the most bang for my buck. What can I do to spend the least amount of dollars to make the most amount of dollars? And so, for example, and so again, this is case by case because I'll tell you, some people put 10 grand into their businesses and they make nothing. They just lose money. And if that's the case, you should either one, reconsider what you're investing in your business, or two, you should reconsider whether you should be in business. Not everyone should be in business. I think some people are just perfectly great working for someone else. Because if you're in business and you can't make good money, you know, even after doing the things that you're doing, if you have a hard time making money in your business, maybe working a job is the best thing for you. And maybe there's more freedom there than it could be in a business where you're stuck all the time. By the way, the American dream and being in business, hey, I'm a huge fan of business. I think that's one of the coolest investments you could ever do that creates a lot of value and can make great money. But it can also be enslaving because I have a lot of business owners I've worked with where even if they've made good money, they don't feel like they have a lot of money. You know, we have to get them to the place where we can create more money or create other streams of income outside of their business as well, right? And so it always comes back to that. It comes back to that cash flow. You know, what can you really create? And what's the best investment for you? And when I say investment, it could be paying off debt. It could be just saving into a savings account. It could be saving into an investment or retirement type vehicle. It could be saving into buying real estate. It could be saving into whatever, whatever it is. It just depends on who you are. Now, I want to get to my point here on this whole interest thing. So he said a $150,000 mortgage would cost you $105,000 in interest at 3.92%. Now, I think that's hilarious because I remember the days like over 10 years ago when I was a mortgage broker, we were talking about how great interest rates were at like 5.5%. You know, I remember I used to quote people 6% just so I wouldn't overpromise. You know, now we try not to overpromise by quoting like 4.5%, right? And back then at 6%, you were looking at a $150,000 loan, you're paying an extra 150 grand. So in my eyes, I'm thinking, well, relative to this, this is like 45 grand plus cheaper than what I was showing people before. So 105,000 over 30 years, that sounds like a lot. It sounds like you're wasting 105 grand, right? But here's the thing. What if you had $150,000 to pay off that mortgage today? I mean, wouldn't that be the best case scenario? Wouldn't that save you the most interest over time? Because most of those people that are quoting that, they're usually like trying to put extra payments towards a mortgage, which, by the way, I think in almost every case, other than the horrible spender, the people that can't stop spending money, great, put into your house. But for those that at least are good savers or those that at least want to be wise stewards, I would say don't put that money in your house because I learned that personally the hard way. Throwing extra money and equity in your house only makes the bank feel better, but not you because that money's not yours anymore. And even if you try to sell that house, what if you have to sell it? Maybe the market goes down. Maybe the credit markets change. Maybe all of a sudden that equity you put in, like what I did during the Great Recession, had tons of equity in a home and couldn't get it back out because the recession was going on. I end up losing that home. So paying down your home, really there's no freedom until that home completely paid off. So I prefer people keep money off to the side. So let's just say you did have enough money to pay off that home. That's the best case scenario. That would save you the 105 grand of interest. Paying little extra payments every month doesn't give you hardly any more freedom and doesn't really free up that much interest anyways. If you really run the numbers, it doesn't do much. But when I look at it this way, I'm like, what if you had 150 grand? You could pay off your home today, but you don't. And instead, you're going to say, no, I'm going to pay that home, paying the minimum payment for the next 30 years. I'm going to pay that full 105 grand of interest. Well, what if the 150 grand was making money off to the side? So for example, what if you only earned, so remember that loan was almost at 4%. What if you earned just 3.5% on that money? So you don't even earn the same amount of money, right? You earn less interest than that interest on the mortgage. Guess what? 3.5% on 150,000 over 30 years, you've made 271,000 of interest. 271,000, and you're not even earning the same interest rate. Now, I know you've heard other episodes I've mentioned this before. It's because it's compounding. When you have a mortgage, it doesn't compound because you're paying down the balance over time. So it's not compounding. It's simple interest. The interest decreases over time. That's why as you keep making more payments, more and more goes to principal, right? But in a compounding interest situation, when you're just storing money and letting it grow, this is not even talking about like investing it actively. This is just letting it sit there, right? 3.5% interest still makes you $271,000. Now we got to take out the $105,000 because that's what it cost you on the mortgage. So it's not $271,000 not all yours because you still had to pay interest, right? Well, if we net that out, you still made $166,000 in that same situation. $166,000 better. That's not even earning the same interest rate. What if you earn 4%? What if you're pretty much earning the same interest rate? Guess what? That number now is $336,000. That means now you're netting over $230,000 of interest, making almost the same exact interest. And 4% is not a hard interest to hit. I mean, you can do that in very conservative funds. Even like some of the things that we teach, like how you utilize life insurance, things like that, 4% cash and cash rate of return is not hard to do. And so you think about how that really adds up. Most people are sacrificing their freedom to try to pay off their mortgage faster. They're trying to pay it all off. They're not even trying to use it. And so in some cases, this is like ridiculous. Now, again, if you're a spender, you can't stop spending money. It's uncontrollable. Don't do it. But in this case, if you're at least someone who's a good saver or someone who's a steward where you want to create the most from your money possible, Well, guess what? This is something that could create, be the difference between having financial freedom and not. Now, again, numbers don't make all the difference, but they do help. And by the way, and some people say, yeah, but you're in bondage for 30 years. You're paying $707 a month on a mortgage. What they freaking do? You know what? You're always paying money anyways. You know, there's always a cost to your money. Okay, that's $700. Yeah, that, you're paying that. But I think that's a great investment to use the bank's money to buy my mortgage, to buy my house. And by the way, it's much easier to buy a home now than when it appreciates. Because if you're trying to save up all this money to try to put a huge down payment on a house, you're losing even more money than someone who's just buying a house and mortgaging it. Because now you're trying to chase after that. And by the time you save up enough money, you've already watched house prices climb. At least with a mortgage, you lock it in and now you're paying it down. It's like inflation proof. In fact, it helps when there's more inflation to have a mortgage. Paying off your mortgage early actually is worse. You see what I'm saying here? There's a big difference. And I'm just saying like a 4% return. I mean, obviously, if you're getting higher returns, 4%, the numbers become astronomical, right? I mean, even if you earn 6%, like all financial advisors say are a conservative quote-unquote rate of return, that's $711,000. That means you still made $600,000 more than the mortgage, just paying off your mortgage. Does that make sense? I mean, that's the thing, is that there's always a cost to your money. It's cost to your freedom. I just had somebody this week. He was saying like, hey, Chris, I'm, you know, I don't know if I should, you know, cash out money. Here's another example of where not to do debt. In his situation, he's like, should I cash out money for my mortgage, the equity for my mortgage? He was actually he had a duplex. He was renting out half and then keeping the other half, right? So he had that kind of scenario. Now, what I love about that scenario is that he was being pretty smart. I mean, think about it. He was renting out half of his duplex. He was living in the bigger half. He was renting out the smaller one. And what's nice is that he was only paying net a few hundred dollars a month. And I asked him, I said, hey, what if you rented out your place? Like, what if we did that? You know, what if you moved out and you had to get another place? He said, well, I'll probably net cash flow $1,000 a month. Now, we looked at the equity. If he had $300,000 of equity in his house, then the question became, okay, well, that $300,000, now if we took it out as a loan, a home equity line of credit, it would eat up all of his cash flow. But I said, well, could we do something with that $300,000 and make more than $1,000 a month net? And the answer was, oh, yeah, $100,000 of that $300,000 investing in real estate just like he was doing could easily make over $1,000 a month. It's just $100,000. You could probably easily make $1,200 a month just doing that. So I told him, I said, actually, your best bet is not to cash out, refinance, and move out. Your best bet is just to sell that asset off, just to sell off the house. And it shocked him. He's like, are you sure? Now, again, this guy is a very intelligent man. And I'm impressed with what he's done. He had two other rental properties that are doing great. I said, those rental properties are doing awesome for the amount of equity you have in them right now. But as he built more equity, he's like, no, actually, you're better off not to keep your home, but actually sell it off and get the equity out of it, that $300,000, and go and invest it. Yes, you will lose the income from that one home, but you'll make more net cash flow wise otherwise outside of that. So it kind of threw him off for a loop. I'm like, that's the deal. I'm like, and you can always move the equity into another property. You could do the same thing, but no, you actually could be in a better situation potentially. So that's my point, is that you just never know. There's always scenarios where you can create more with it. There's always scenarios you can create more cash flow. And so, again, it's case by case. Now, I invite you to question everything you've been taught. Question especially the traditional mindset, because you will never become financially free. Believe in the same thing of paying off your debt and save up your money just like a good old boy or good old girl would do. If you want to create financial freedom, do the opposite. This is Chris Miles signing off. Have a great and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.